for the children's sermon, so to speak. And I decided this Sunday that I would, our sermon together is going to be, they're going to help me preach. Is that okay? You guys going to help me preach? Go ahead, and you guys have a seat. I'm going to sit there on that box drum, and I'm going to get my globe here. You guys recognize what this is, right? This is a globe. And I know there are some people who believe that this is actually a flat earth, but we're going to go with the globe, okay? But so this is the planet Earth, okay? And don't look too closely because some of the things have changed on the map. Have a seat. How are you? I'm so glad you guys are here. You guys look awesome. Did you guys have a great Christmas? Mm-hmm. Just mm-hmm. I got one mm-hmm. So the rest of you wasn't so good? Was Christmas great this year? You performed in Nashville, didn't you? You danced. Yeah, I wish I could have been there. But anyway, this is a globe. So this is so can anyone tell me where are we on this globe? Can you tell me, Elizabeth? Can you find it? We're right there, exactly. We're right there. Okay, hold your finger there. Now, I'm going to kind of move the thing, but you keep your finger there. Now, we're going to talk about a story this morning. The song we just sang was about what? Jesus? Yeah, it was about Jesus. Good answer. Where is about? We of Orient are. We're singing about three kings. What? Yeah, kings. There we go. Elizabeth got the answer. Okay. So we're going to talk about an area that's right here. Okay. So see how far the distance is from her finger to mine. We're going to talk about an area from here all the way there. That's good, Elizabeth. You can have a seat. I appreciate it. All right. Good finger holding. And you did find us, too. Okay. So we're going to talk about this part of the world right there. This is the part of the world we're talking about. That's a long way away from us, isn't it? Did any of you guys do any traveling during Christmas time? Did anybody come see you during Christmas? People are traveling, lots of traveling. You're going to travel this week, aren't you? Really? Oh, yeah, and Santa Claus, he did a bunch of traveling too, didn't he? Yeah, he did a significant amount of traveling. Yeah, and then, but a lot of people have been involved in traveling. Yes, ma'am, I think I've just been upset. Yes. Yeah, I can't out-cute you, that's for sure. Well, this is what we're going to talk about right here. Go ahead and have a seat, okay, so we can wrap this up, okay? We're going to talk about that right there. Do you know what? The song, what we're singing about, can you have a seat, please, so everyone can see? Please?
Yeah.
Okay, have a seat, please. Can you sit down? Thank you. All right, awesome. Okay, so we're going to talk about this area right here. This is where Jesus was born, right in this area here, okay? Okay, that's where he was born. And the song that we sang was about three kings. Now, they're not actually kings. They're what's called magi, and it's a word we really don't know all the full meaning of it. Really?
Right there.
Right. Well, they were from further away. More than likely, they were from the east. Okay, go have a seat so everyone can see the ball, the globe, excuse me. Sphere? Is that what it is? Okay. Have a seat. Have a seat. There you go. Good job. Okay. All right. So anyway, let me ask you a question. I want you guys to answer questions for me, okay? So they were traveling too, okay? They were from the east. So the east is this way. Have a seat. Have a seat, pumpkin. Thank you. Okay. All right. I'll hold it down here so you can see it. But they were traveling from the east. The east is this way. So they traveled from somewhere over here. Well, east could be China. It could be India. It could be any of these countries. Huh? Yeah, it could be Korea. That's right. Exactly. And they would travel all that way. Yeah. They traveled all that way. It's okay. And she's just being a girl, a kid. I shouldn't say the girl. I didn't mean a girl. I meant a kid. She's just being a kid. Okay. Anyway, so they traveled all that way. They did a long traveling. How long do you think it took them? What do you think? How do you think? So Elizabeth? A couple months? How long do you think? Maybe a year. Okay. Okay, it took a long time because they didn't have an airplane to fly. They had to ride animals and that sort of thing. They just kind of, So it took some time. It took probably a while. So it was, when we're going to read the passage in a minute, the passage tells a story that after Jesus was born, these three, the Magi came. It also doesn't tell us that there's three. Where? Right there? As they, if they traveled all the way from here to here, how long do you think it would have taken them, Peter? I'm asking Peter a question right now. Wait. If they traveled from here to here, how long do you think it would have taken them, Peter? A month? Wow, that would have been some serious traveling. That would have been a long time. Because there's... Exactly. Yeah, they arrived afterwards. In fact, a lot of people will celebrate the arrival of the wise men. Thank you so much. I need your help. I told you to celebrate the wise men actually in January. Okay. Now, my whole point is this: they took a long journey. They said, "You know what? I want to see Jesus. I want to go where He was born. I want to be with Him." They took a journey. Now, God today, even today, He invites us to go on a journey with Him and be, to say yes to Him and say, I want to take a journey. Next year, 2020, that sounds so good. 2020, okay? 2020 sounds so weird, but you know what? God invites us to go on a journey with Him this next year, to be with Him and to be walking where He wants us to walk. And that's what I want us to do. I want you guys to go on a journey with God. I want you to say, okay, God, I want to follow You wherever You want to take me this next year. I want to be on this journey with You. And that's what I think God wants us to do. It means that, you know, when the wise men left and they traveled all that way, it means they had to leave behind other things. They had to go and do what God wanted them to do. And you know what? They really didn't know exactly where they were going. They didn't know exactly. They knew sort of and kind of. That's why when they got to the community, huh? But they still made it right. They trusted God because God was going to show them exactly where to go. And part of the reason that God showed them is because they did trust God. You know, God wasn't going to tell them if they were all the way in India and they traveled all that way. God didn't tell them in India exactly where it was. He waited until they got almost all the way there. And then He showed them exactly where Mary and Joseph and the baby were. And by that point in time, the baby was probably, maybe was even walking. Yeah. That's amazing, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to pray right now. You want to pray with me? Let's pray together. God, thank You so much that Your Son Jesus came to this planet. That He came to this world to be available to these people. And I thank You, God, that these Magi, they said yes, and they followed You, and they became part of the story. God, today, I hope that that's what we'll do, is we'll say yes to You and be part of the story You have for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Great job, guys. Thank you so much for coming up here. You know, this story, the whole story of the kings and where they come from, the Magi, it's talked about in Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to read the passage and just kind of walk through this story. And I've kind of introduced the passage to you and just having the conversation with the kids. But and I just never know exactly where that was going to go. And no, it didn't go exactly the way I'd planned it. Okay? But that's okay. Put this down. In Matthew chapter 2, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." I love this story for lots of reasons. Matthew is the only one who gives us this detail, who talks to us about these Magi coming from other nations. This morning in our Sunday school class, we were studying the book of Numbers, where Balaam is being called as he's a prophet of God, and one of the enemies of Israel. Israel is the nation of God, if you will, God's chosen people. And Israel's moving through the desert. They're getting close to going into the promised land. And yet there's so many people. And there's a particular country. The leader of that country is Balak. And he's worried about them. He says, man, they're going to just lick up everything. They're going to take everything. And I don't want... And so Balaam, though, is this person who has a conversation with God. Balaam is not an Israelite. He's someone outside outside of the story, if you will, of Israel. But he's part of the story. What I love about these magi, it reminds me that God didn't come just for the Jews. God didn't come just for Israel. God's purpose in choosing Israel, even in choosing Israel, was to display his glory through Israel that they might become a light to the whole world. And the reality is that God didn't come just for somebody else. He came for you. The truth of the thing, that this all this is that they understood that God was, and there's something else about it. These are magi. Now, you can do a little, your Bible may have some information there about it. I like to call them the wise guys, you know, but the wise guys, they had some communication with God. They were listening to God. And they were reading. Now, this is the part where I get a little bit nervous because, you know, they were reading the stars. They were reading the planets. They were reading nature. Now, here's why I get nervous about it. Because there's horoscopes, and people want to read horoscopes and blah, blah, blah. Look, that's the biggest lie there ever was. Okay? First of all, the whole horoscope system, if you will, is based upon a flat earth. Guess what? There is no flat earth. All that came about when there was this. So I'm just saying it's not the right. Now, but let me say this. If God made everything and all of creation is God, wouldn't God's creation herald the birth of his son on the planet? You know, I wrote a song years ago, you know, about, and it was, a, you know, a little quaint little kid's song. It was, you know, "Bah, went the sheep as the donkeys brayed, when the stable where the baby lay. The cow softly mooed and switched his tail. As shepherds found proof of the angel's tale." Well, you know, I was playing with it, thinking, you know, if there were animals in that stable with Jesus, they knew who he was. How do I know that? Well, read the story of Balaam and Balak in Numbers 22. The donkey could see the angel of the Lord, and no one else could see the angel of the Lord. Sometimes creation is more in tune with what God is doing than we are. And many times it's because we're so preoccupied with our own stuff. There are parts, and we, you know, we moved back here from California, and there are parts of California you can go to, and it seems impossible to believe this, but there are parts of some of the parks that you can go to where there is no man-made light whatsoever. You can't, there's no what's, and so when you turn off your light, it's dark, but the skies light up. Now, I can go drive down to my home in Clovis and go out of my backyard, and I can't see those stars. Guess what? They're still there. But there's so much other distortion. There's so much other pollution around me that keeps me from seeing God's declaration of his glory. These wise guys, and we don't know how many of them there are. They brought three gifts. I'm thinking they may have brought other gifts too, but these three were the ones that were important for Matthew, and he mentioned those. We don't know, but here's the deal. These wise guys were listening to God, and they were seeking God. Here's another part of it. When the Jews were, you know, they had the country, they had this big, you know, beautiful nation, and they disobeyed God, and the prophets kept telling them, if it doesn't stop, God's going to come and judge us. He's going to remove us from the land, and he did, and he exiled them, and literally kings, armies came in, and they took the people from Israel, and they said, you're going to be repatriated to another country. And the reality is probably some of the Jews lived in the same region where these wise guys were from. And they'd read about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the King of Israel. And so they knew a little bit about the history. And as they began to read and understand what was going on in through prophecy, and they began to see what was going on in creation, they realized something has happened. Something is happening that is earth-shattering, time-defining. And even we define our time based upon the birth of Christ. And so this is the powerful verse. Now he says, where is the one who, they go to Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? You say, they're only 6 miles off. Pretty close, wouldn't it? You know, I thought it was funny when I said that. I appreciate you women not saying anything about the fact they didn't know exactly where they were going. That's the way men usually are with their maps and things, right? So thank goodness, thank God for GPS. That's all I'm going to say. We saw his star when it rose. And they're asking a question. We've come to the one who's been born. Where would a king be born? In the major city. In the major population, in the capital, in the seat, in the very heart of Israel, Jerusalem. When King Herod heard this, verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. King Herod, this creates a tension. You got to understand, King Herod was not the born king of the Jews. He was the king of the Jews, but he had been made the king of the Jews, appointed that, and he had gotten that position by hook or crook. And you figure out what that means. I mean, Herod was the kind of guy, he put to death members of his own family because he thought that they were going to usurp his power. They were plotting against him. He put them to death. This was not a nice guy. This guy was not thinking about anything but how do I preserve my kingdom and my purpose. And he wasn't the born king of the Jews, meaning he wasn't from the line of David. That was what was God was promising, that there was be a one who was born king of the Jews. This creates the tension in the story. This is the one. We know what's happening. We know what's going on. Now, what's amazing to me is that the teachers and the priests of the law, they know exactly where Jesus is born. And they're 6 miles away, and what do they do? This star thing, you know, when I was a little boy, I used to think about, okay, wise men follow the star. And I imagined, you know, a star that, you know, literally, you know, was like the light of God. Here, just follow this light, and you just keep going and keep going, you keep going. And it wasn't like that. It was more of it revealed itself when they were looking. I don't know exactly. I don't understand it. But here's the deal. There were signs in heaven. There were signs that were going on, and the chief priests and the religious, all the religious people in Jerusalem, they didn't even know this is that had happened. Remember, it took a while for them to take this trip. Some scholars believe as much as, you know, 18 months. We can, and we're going to get to that. But they believe it's about 18 months because later, I'm going to get to it right now. Later, Herod decrees, put to death all the baby boys, 2 years young, 2 years old and younger, in that community, because he wanted to make sure he put to death the born king of the Jews. Now that's indicates two things: one, the horrific king Herod was, and the other thing it indicates is that's about the time he was. Probably estimating that's how old the boy would be. He would not be any older than two. So get the two-year-olds and youngers, put them all to death. Wow. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. When your king is a madman and he's disturbed, you get disturbed. This is craziness. But they knew exactly where Jesus was going to be born. Verse 5, In Bethlehem and Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. This is from a prophet speaking hundreds of years, at least 400 years before Jesus was born. And listen to what he says in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, which means open, okay, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. Now, this is ruler over Israel. That's normal. This is normal. A baby was going to be born, and that baby would be of the line of David, and that baby would then become ruler of Israel. Everything that Micah is saying is a normal idea. But then he adds this, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Hold it, wait, that's not a baby. That's something different than a baby. And there's only one whose origin is from old and from ancient times that's still alive, and that's God. Only God. So God was going to, Micah was predicting that a baby would be born who would be both human and both God. He was pointing to this 400 plus years before it happened. God has a plan. God is revealing his plan. God is writing his story. And suddenly, in the midst of all this, he shines a light, and these wise men see it, and they understand it, and they understand something is happening. And it's the one who was promised. It's the Messiah who was promised. And these guys were not even part of Israel's story. What I want you to catch is all the religious people, everyone who was looking for Jesus, they were missing it because they were too busy or too distracted, or for whatever reason, they were too concerned about their own life, and they were missing the story. While Mary and Joseph had said, yes, I'll make room. I want you to write your story in my life. The shepherds had already come and gone, but the reality is, as they said, yes, we're making room for you to write your story in my life. You can read all through the Christmas story in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 1, 2, and 3. You can read all through that and find out there are people all along the way who were saying yes to God. But as many as said yes, there were many who said, no. They were too busy, too distracted. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? It's so tempting to be caught up in everything that we're doing and miss exactly what God wants us to do. Micah was saying, hey, he is happy to see that mama. That's good. Okay? God is writing his story, and he's inviting us to be a part of that. In verse 7, then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. See, Herod's purposeful, but he's also manipulative. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go too and worship him. As a kid, I always remember reading this story and thinking, why didn't he just go with them then? Makes more sense. You know, I'll find out where the kid is, take care of business, and then we're done. And Matthew doesn't tell us why, does he? We can only presume. We can only speculate. We can only guess. Why didn't he go then? But see, God is sovereign. God is in charge. God is in control. And Herod knew what he was going to do. These Magi were sent out secretly, and so they went. And then verse 9, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. See, somehow in the midst of Jerusalem, They couldn't see the star. I don't know exactly how this all works. Again, in my brain, I start to try to figure out, how is this all going to work out? I don't understand. Did the star move? Did the star reappear? Did they just finally, they could see it again? I mean, did literally the star move to a place and they said, you know, point down, you know, with an arrow, like, you know, said, you know, bleep, bleep, look here, you know that. What was it that they, and wouldn't it be great if God would do that for us? This is what I want you to do, you know, with a bright light. You see this? Look right here, you know. Suddenly in my brain thinks of a movie that says, don't go into the light, go away from, you know. What, you know, we want this. We want God to somehow show up in our life and say, okay, just follow this path and I'll light it and you can move this direction and you're going to always go where I want you to do. Here's the problem with that. If God did that, then where do you exercise faith? In the midst of doubt, there's a question. Am I going to trust God through this? Because see, I'm inviting you to open up your life, to make room in your life for God to write his story. Well, there's going to be parts of the story you're not going to know. You don't know. They didn't know exactly where Jesus was. They just knew that he was, that he had been born. They didn't know. They didn't have all the GPS nailed down. And somehow God made, but and yet in the midst of all this, they still went. I think that verse 10, when they saw the star, too quickly we read past that. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. There was a moment in the midst of the dream, in the midst of living the story, in the midst of seeking out Christ, seeking out God's will, God's purpose, God's desire for them. He had put a burden on their heart to show up and celebrate the birth of this king of the Jews. He'd put that in their heart. In the midst of all that, they lost their vision. And there was some doubt that was creeping in. And they were concerned. We've come all this way and are we going to miss it? We've made all this investment of our time and everything. Are we going to miss it? And then they saw the star. And they were overjoyed. It renewed. God wants us to open up our life for him to write his story. And you may, and it doesn't matter what your age is. You know, if you're still breathing, God's got purpose for you. I love what my pastor used to say years ago, Brother Hartwell, when you're green, you're growing, and when you're ripe, you're rotten. Now, some of you got to think about that. I'll just explain it to you. It's simply this. If you stop learning, you stop leading. If you stop realizing that God has a purpose for you and God wants to use you, if you stop believing that, guess what? You might as well be dead. You're just rotten. If you think you're all that, you're not. But if you think God can still use you, God can still grow you, God can still transform your life, God can still invite you to write his story, if you believe that, then guess what? You're still green, and you're still growing. But if you say no, guess what? You're ripe. And ripe things rotten fast, don't they? I love avocados. I mean, I just enjoy them so much. But, man, there's nothing worse than picking up an avocado, and I think it's the right tenderness, and then you open it up, and it's just black. You know, and I got nothing against that color, but in an avocado, it's just not very appealing. You know, when you're green, you're growing. When you're ripe, you're rotten. Okay, you write that one down. That's the best thing you're going to hear today, maybe. Verse 11, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, it says gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It says gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It doesn't mean that they gave him three gifts. It means they gave him gifts. We have no idea the number of gifts. We have no idea the number of people that were on this trip. We have none of those. All those things we add into the story and we imply. But That's just the way we are. But this picture right here is they found the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshiped him. Their worship. Note, just recognize that their giving is connected to their worship. Their generosity is connected to their... If you love God, you become generous. Why? Because you recognize the generosity of God. God sent his son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would have life. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. He sent his son into the world to save the world. God did that. He gave abundant grace, sufficient to forgive all of my sins, past, present, and future. And he did that for you too. That is grace, unfettered grace. It is grace without limit. It is bottomless. It is over the top. And when we've recognized how much we've been forgiven, we naturally become filled with grace. And grace says, I want to worship God, and the way I do that is through generosity as well. They were willing to give of everything. They gave up their life to find this one born King of the Jews. And they weren't even part of the Jewish family. They gave up their life. They moved and they found God. And when they found him, they worshiped him. They fell at his knees. And verse 12, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. I always tell my wife, when I go home a different way than the way I came, it's because I'm being biblical. I mean, the wise men did it. I need to do it, you know. I have this thing. I don't want to take that road. Let's go this other way. There's another way to get there. There's another way to get there, you know. And, yeah, it's probably not really a biblical. But the reality is this. God was speaking to them all along the story. God was investing in them. God was protecting them. God was giving them just what they needed when they needed it. I want to invite you again. Today and the next day and the next day, simply say, God, I'm inviting you into my life. I want you to write your story. I want to be available to you to write your story. And there are going to be moments when you're not going to see the star. And there are going to be moments when you're wondering, are you on the right path? And at those moments, you need to just simply say, God, I'm trusting you. I'm believing you. You brought me thus far. You're going to take me the rest of the way. You brought me all the way to Jerusalem. You're going to help me find Bethlehem. You brought me all the way to Bethlehem. You're going to help me find my way home and take this news with me. Because the one born King of the Jews was not just born for the Jews. He was born for you and for me. He was born for all of us. And God, the Son of God, came to this planet to write his story. And he wants to write his story in your life as well. Let's pray together.